Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. Kyle Draper joined, as always, by the insider himself, A. Sherrod Blakely.
What's up, Kyle Rashid Draper?
Dude, All-Star Weekend is here, and that means two different things, though. For me, it means some time off, catch up with the fam, chill, relax.
In other words, just another day
for
in the
you,
life
it
of
means
Kyle Draper.
Get turned up in New Orleans.
No, it means I am grinding. My grind continues. That's what it means for me. No rest until the trade deadline passed. That's how this works.
Yeah, we're going to get into a lot of trade talk, obviously, here in the next few minutes. We're going to be joined by Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. He'll break down whether the Celtics were ever interested in Serge Ibaka. We'll talk about some of the potential trades that the Celtics might make. But here we are, Sherrod, you know, about a week away from the trade deadline, and I'm getting the sense, dude, that not much is going to happen for the Celtics. You know, this blockbuster fireworks or whatever you want to call it, it ain't happening, folks.
Well, the problem, Drapes, is that there's such a small window of opportunity for the Boston Celtics to significantly improve their roster because they've got the second best record in the East. There's very little room to go up from there. And so if you're making a deal, you have to be confident and comfortable that it's a deal that's going to allow you to take that next step. And I just don't see those deals out there right now. Even if you were to add a guy like Jimmy Butler, on paper,
that doesn't move you closer to Cleveland?
Can I finish? Kyle Rashid Draper, can
ahead,
I finish?
Because you're about to spew some nonsense out here, and I'm just trying to warn the people, you know, to give the side eye when they listen to this. But go
ahead.
Listen,
when you speak, you deal with your fake news. I'm going to deal with my real news right now. Adding Jimmy Butler will take you a step forward. But consider what you may have to give up. That could potentially take you two steps back. That is the balancing act that the Celtics have with a potential Jimmy Butler deal. And frankly, a deal for any player that we would constitute as one of the elite guys in the NBA.
Are the Celtics going to win this year?
With or without Jimmy Butler?
With or without.
No, it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter if you take a step back right now, Sherrod?
It does, Drake, because if you take a step back, that means it takes you another step to get where you want to get to. That's the whole. That's why you have to be patient. You can't just take a step just because you got feet and can move. No, you got to take the right steps.
No, I'm just arguing.
I know you are.
You
man.
Caught
Look
me
at
right
you.
There.
Look
no, but you. I would like to see Jimmy Butler. But what would you have to give up? That's the.
See, Chicago will want you to give up
right.
that Brooklyn pick, and I'm not talking about either one. I think Chicago would want both. I think they would want the one this year, which is going to be top two, top three pick, and the one next year, which will be probably a lottery pick.
All right,
pick.
If you say that, hold up. If you say that,
hold up.
If you say that, if they want both Brooklyn picks, would you do it?
No.
So that tells me then this whole notion of Jimmy Butler to Boston probably ain't going to happen, whether it's now or offseason.
This is what you have to keep in mind, though. Chicago right now is a hot mess. At some point, they may get it in their minds that, you know what, we need to scorch the earth, start over, and just rebuild this thing from the ground up. And Jimmy ain't trying to hear that because he's already chirping now, and they're in playoff position. Just imagine if they scorch the earth and he's like the only last man standing, him and D-Wade with a bunch of, D-League 10-day contract cats. He will be hot. So right now, his value is extremely high. I think you can get the 2018 Brooklyn pick from Boston. I think that pick is out there that they could get. If you get that pick, you throw in Jay Crowder and you throw in another player, that might be enough. Because, again, you have to get to in a situation where Chicago gets desperate.
Yeah.
And right now, Chicago's, they're not feeling that type of pressure to do a move that I think most of us would agree would be a desperate move. But, again, if they continue to slide – show that they're going nowhere. You know, Jimmy's still, you know, going off on Hoiberg on a slide, showing, you know, throwing shade on him and thinking nobody's really watching, but we are. They may say, you know, we got to do something. We got to get something for this guy right now. And the Celtics, again, if you are talking about rebuilding, which is something I think the Bulls are going to have to come to that realization soon, there's no better partner in the world than the Boston Celtics. They got young players with experience. They got draft picks out the wazoo. They can put together a package that can at least help you jumpstart that rebuilding process quickly.
That's a tough call. If I'm running things in Chicago, it's like, do you give up an all-star player and bottom out, basically, because you're going to bottom out and do the Philly plan, basically, and hope for, you know, high draft picks and the Brooklyn picks and all that. That's a tough sell in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, but a tougher sell is to be a team that can just get to the playoffs and not do anything but just
or
get to the playoffs.
Or do you get rid of Fred Hoiberg and surround Jimmy Butler with some talent?
They thought they did that with Dwayne Wade.
But we already know. Yeah. That whole roster, I mean, just the free agency, getting Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, those pieces weren't going to fit.
The problem for Chicago is that, and this is under Hoiberg's leadership, is that they never established an identity.
Yeah.
You don't know who they are. Hoiberg came in with the reputation of being more of an offensive guru type guy, and they still suck shooting the ball. They got one guy who can make shots, McDermott. Yeah, and his rookie season, yeah, he was ill and he was sick, but when he was healthy, they weren't playing him then either. So you have a coach who supposedly has a specific strength, which is a weakness of the team. That's a bad cocktail we're trying to put together here. I like to get
right.
buckets, but my team likes to play defense.
Play D and slow it down.
And slow it down.
Yeah.
And so it's a hodgepodge of pieces that just don't fit, and I would be surprised if Hoiberg is there much longer, to be honest. I know they've given he's going to be okay. He's going to be the seal of approval. That's the kiss of death, man. As soon as they start talking about, he's safe, he's good, come on.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to be the answer, especially now. Maybe offseason things get desperate.
Well, I think it's easier to make a trade in the offseason, even at the draft, because you can easily add picks to that. And in the summer, you just have more options, I think. I just think it's a lot easier to facilitate a deal then.
What about somebody else out there, Paul George or Cousins? You know, I don't think those two guys are available.
Well, Cousins, it doesn't matter if he was available. The Celtics, they're not trying to – no.
They don't want him?
No, Cousins is not.
What about the reports that they were split? Some in the Celtics camp would like Cousins, others why are you giving me that look? We need to start putting this up on Facebook Live or something. You should see this look.
Let's just put it this way. The overwhelming majority of those in position to make that call are not cut fans of Cousins. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that let's just be honest and keep it real. You look at the culture that they got here. Is that dude going to fit in here? People say, well, maybe if you just take him out of Sacramento and he's going to be okay.
Right.
I'm not buying that.
Because
the more I watch him play, the more I see self-inflicted stupidity on his part. Something that has nothing to do with the teammates that you're playing with, nothing to do with the opponent, nothing to do with the referees. It has everything to do with you and your mentality. You have no control of yourself. When he picked up his 16th tech, no, when he picked up his 17th tech, which was the game after, I remember right after he picked it up, he went back to the locker room.
Yeah, what was that about?
To calm his ass down. You telling me you can't sit your behind on the bench just do your little count to 10. No, you can't do that. You got to actually go in the back, probably bang a couple lockers and break chairs and do some nonsense like that before you can calm yourself down and come back out and play. Come on. Seriously?
I'm with you.
And I love his game. And that's to me.
The game is good.
That's the thing about DeMarcus Cousins that just absolutely drives me insane. I love watching him play when that's all he's doing, playing. But it's the histrionics. It's the all that other nonsense that he brings to the game.
Yeah.
That just turns me off.
I mean, even when he got his 15th and 16th technical, I mean, you got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a close game. And you got to know that you're at 15 and then 16,
right.
and you just saw him melt down just watching that game. So, all right, we threw out the big names. I want to get your take on the Orlando trade, sending Serge Ibaka to Toronto. I think Serge would have fit in well basketball-wise with the Celtics. Obviously, they didn't just want him as a rental, though.
No, that was it.
That
was the sticking point.
Yeah.
I mean, they did not want to give up long-term assets that, like draft picks and young players, for a guy that you are going to have for 25 games. And frankly, you had no plans of re-signing. I mean, it would be different if let's say Nerlens Noel was out there and Philly, the Celtics were involved involved in getting him. That's a guy that when he becomes a free agent, the Celtics would be interested in. So really, it would just be like basically making a down payment on a cat that you wanted to keep in the fold long term. Not the case with Serge. As far as fitting in, I think talent wise he would have fit in. But man, when I watch him play.
You hating on Serge.
Dude. I love Serge.
You hating on Serge.
Drapes, I am sick and tired of people living off of the surge with KD.
Dude,
and
Serge Chaka, man, he's shooting a career high 3-point percentage
on a team that is garbage.
Exactly.
And he's a big part of why they're
fire right now.
He is a big part of why they're garbage. He was brought in to give them leadership, stability, and a guy that could play defense, which were some of the things he did when he had KD and Russ around him. He gets to Orlando, what, he forgets how to defend? I mean, when they played the Celtics, Amir Johnson ate him up.
But, Shirai, you got to understand, Orlando has no clue what they're doing.
Surge. First,
they get Surge. They get Bismack. They play Aaron Gordon at the three. I mean, that whole situation is dysfunctional. I think, you know, and Surge is still averaging 15 points a game and you know, shooting his career high in three. But I just think that whole situation is dysfunctional. And you put Serge in a winning environment, a better coaching environment, a better front office, he'll play better.
Here's my issue with that. Serge was brought in there to do the things I mentioned earlier. But they said, okay, Serge, we're going to put you back at the four where you were good. Still sucked. Okay, let's try you back at the five. You still suck. Now, I will say this, though. I will say this about Toronto, and I agree with you. I think Toronto has a better structure that can get whatever the most he can give, right. He can give now. Because he will no longer be looked upon as, like, that dude. He is not that dude. That dude is Paul George. That dude is Jimmy
right.
Butler. That dude.
Can he be a number three?
He can be the wingman next to the wingman.
So he's the number three guy.
Exactly. He is the number.
You already got so-called a big two, Isaiah and Al Horford.
But that's why I'm saying whatever he has that is his best to offer, he's going to be able to do that now. But I'm telling you now, don't be surprised if there's not a huge difference between what he's bringing, what he brought to Orlando, and what he's bringing to Toronto. Because I'm telling you, I'm a huge Serge fan. I loved when he was in OKC. Loved his game. It ain't there no more, dude.
All right, man. No you hating on Serge. Let's get our man Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders on the phone to talk about Serge Ibaka and the upcoming NBA trade deadline. Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders joining us now on the Celtics Talk podcast. Steve, obviously a busy time of year, you know, for you as well with the All-Star game coming up this weekend and, of course, the NBA trade deadline. The Celtics obviously going to be a part of a lot of talks out there. Just your gut feeling right now. Will the Celtics be busy over this next week?
Well, I think so. I mean, they've been busy all year, you know, when you've got, you know, so many assets and so many young guys and a lot of duplication and young guys on any contracts like a James Young, you know, veterans like an Amir Johnson. You have all the things teams want to talk to you about. The question becomes, are they things that make you better now? Are they things that make you better in the future? And, you know, the thing I keep hearing from teams that have talked is that, you know, Danny's not overly interested in kind of a tinker move. You know, if it's not a get us in contention with the Cavs move, then we'll just try to fix some of our problems. And if we can't fix them for a cost that makes sense, we won't do it. So, you know, I talked to a Western Conference team today that, you know, believes that the Celtics are also in the discussion on Jahlil Okafor and trying to figure out that particular team, trying to figure out where Jahlil is going to land. A little worried about the treasure trove that Danny has in terms of being able to trump maybe their offer, but, you know, the Celtics aren't going to sit this one out, and it's not going to be surprising if they do a deal, even if it's just a end of the bench or maybe fix the rim protection problem Danny's been talking about.
Steve, when you have a team like the Celtics right now who's playing really some of their best basketball of the season, is there a concern of tinkering with that when you're rolling the way they are and you're rolling without necessarily your whole team intact?
Oh, very much so. And you know, what I've heard is, look, you know, with the Cavaliers having Kevin Love, you know, banged up for you know, 6 weeks and not really a means to kind of replace him in the lineup, there is a real shot for this Boston Celtics team as constructed to be the number one team in the East. You don't want to give away a core part or a part that's really functional, a known commodity for an unknown commodity. You know, it's the wish of the grass being greener. It isn't always greener. You know, we've seen teams, you know, Orlando just backed out of a deal they thought was going to change their franchise, and they got 90 cents on the dollar. Celtics don't want to do that. They don't feel like they need to do that because they really do like what this team is, where this team's going, and all the guys they already know that are going to be part of this team going forward.
So with that being said, Steve, you know, Celtics fans, some of them are on edge. Some of them hoping that Danny does pull off a move. Are any names you're hearing out there? I know you mentioned Jahlil Okafor. I don't know how he fits into Brad Stevens' system, but it seems to me like, you know, Danny wants to swing big, and if he can't get that DeMarcus Cousins or Jimmy Butler, guys who in my eyes won't be traded this trade deadline, what else is there for the Celtics? Who else is there?
You know, that's the big question. You know, I think the Celtics also become an interesting candidate in the buyout market as well. You know, the Cavs have kind of been the front runner for anybody that's going to fall between the cracks or get bought out. But I think Boston's an interesting, you know, where does Andrew Bogut land if he doesn't get traded? You know, he'd be a great fit and solve the problem, and you're not married to him long-term, and you don't have to give up a young guy or a draft pick. You know, there are other answers that are out there. There's a reason they kicked the tires on Larry Sanders, was because he could potentially solve the problem without costing you anything. So, you know, no question, look, if you could get Chicago to engage on Jimmy Butler, they'd look at that because Jimmy could be that guy for the future. DeMarcus Cousins, we all know he's not going anywhere, but if the Kings want to talk, they've got the package to get it done. And that's when you go, look, we'll maybe take a step back to take the giant forward next year. But if it's just kind of the tinker move, the sideways move, it's not there. But in terms of names, guys to look at, Minnesota's looking to move Ricky Rubio, Shabazz Muhammad, I think somewhat interesting if you can get him cheap. You know, Nerlens Noel, still a name that's on the market. I think he'd be the answer to the rim protection. It's going to cost you something. He's going to cost a ton in free agency. So do you want him for the rental? I don't think you do. You know, what does Dallas do with, you know, Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut? Orlando's not done. They would love to do another move and kind of start to set this team up better for the future after taking the detour they just took. So is Nikola Vukovic your answer? I don't think he is. I don't think he's defensive-minded enough. So those are some of the names that are out there. Lakers have, you know, Lou Williams and Nick Young. Again, don't think either one of those solve a Celtic problem. But again, if you want to get one of them, they're available.
Yeah, and you know, Steve, I was going to ask you about Vucevic for a second there. Now, he's a guy, every time we see him, he's a double-double. But what's the downside to acquiring a guy like him? Because, I mean, you've seen him, obviously, down in Orlando more than I have.
Yeah, you know, it's a double-double that's, like, you know, forever. Like, especially when he first got to Orlando, his against numbers were awful. He'd give you, you know, 15 and 10, but the player who was playing against him would give you 29 and 14. You know, I call it the Jalen Rose stat. You know, everybody talks about Jalen Rose averaged 22 in the league. Yeah, everybody who played against Jalen Rose averaged 22. You know, you got to be able to guard your position, and that's something that Nick's never been able to do. He's a rebounder because he's big and he's under the basket, but he's not a go-get-it rebounder. He's certainly not a very good shot blocker. He's a good teammate. He's not a bad guy. Sometimes there are knuckleheads in this league. He's not one of those. But I'm not sure that the fire burns in Nikola Vukovic that you'd want. And I think that is kind of the defining characteristic. You run down the roster in Boston, you can get nine guys before you get a guy you go, that guy doesn't bring it every night. You know, Nick does not bring it every night. And I think that's one of the reasons why fans and coaches and maybe even the Orlando Magic have soured on him a little bit.
Steve, you know, Orlando did make a move trading Serge Ibaka to Toronto. In terms of the Celtics, were there ever any real conversations, you think, between Orlando and Boston about Serge?
No, the Celtics kicked the tires on that one. They kicked the tires pretty aggressively. So did the Miami Heat. So did the Houston Rockets. The challenge is, you know, what do you give up to get a guy who can walk away as a free agent? And, you know, Serge made it pretty clear where he wanted to be was Toronto. He's got a connection with Masai, wants to be on a winning team, has no problem with Toronto, knows Toronto will pay him and pay him probably big because they're going to have to. This was a move Toronto needed to do. There's $76 million in commitments right now because of all the deals they've done. You think about, you know, Valanciunas and DeMar DeRozan. Now you got to give Kyle Lowry $30 million. You got to give him Max, or he's probably walking away. So now you're over the cap. The only way you add to that team to have bird rights, had to go get the guy you wanted in the future today, which is why you give up a first-round draft pick to do it. So, you know, I don't think anybody was willing to give Orlando that combination of a player that can help them now and a draft pick for the future with the risk of Serge Ibaka walking away. I know the Boston Celtics weren't willing to do it.
You know, with Orlando's trade with Toronto, the perspective on the Raptors has changed a little bit. People see them obviously being a little bit better, a little bit deeper. Are they right now good enough to challenge Cleveland? And if so, is there a move the Celtics you think could make that could put them in that conversation to challenge Cleveland this year?
Well, again, like I said, I think the way we've seen the Celtics play here in February, maybe they're good enough right now. You know, especially when they get everybody back healthy, because Cleveland's not going to be 100%. But my healthy guys against your healthy guys, Cleveland's winning that in a seven-game series. And I'm not really sure that there's anybody that the Celtics can reasonably get. Look, you get a Jimmy Butler, so that's a different discussion. A DeMarcus Cousins, different discussion. But, again, be careful of that, because you're going to have to give up a lot to get them. You may take a step back. You may never recover from it. You know, the grass is not always greener in this situation. So I think, you know, and, you know, Sherrod, you and I have talked about this. You got to wait through your window. You got to be a little patient. One more trip through free agency, another trip for the draft, and you're maybe set up for a decade like the Golden State Warriors are. If you try to be impatient with this and try to go for the quick fix, maybe we can get it done now, and then maybe it's like 2008, where if you get your one championship, but you fizzle out too fast. I think you got to be smart and have staying power. And I think where the Celtics are set up now, you're going to get a good run this year. It's going to be a good playoff run, and who knows what will happen. Last year, the Oklahoma City Thunder got within about 15 minutes of basketball of being in the NBA Finals. That could be the Celtics this year and not have to give up anything. So I think you got to be smart in this. Everything that I've heard is the Celtics being very judicious with this and, you know, really thinking it through. You know, some, you know, you think about that Brooklyn Nets organization, they put all their chips on the table and bet on black more than a couple of times. You know, Danny's being a lot smarter. He's playing chess, not checkers.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. You know, when you look at, you know, some of the other chatter around the rest of the league, obviously Carmelo Anthony, are you expecting any kind of big names to be moved, or is it still too early to tell? And maybe teams haven't put forth their best efforts yet.
Well, you never see the best effort until the 11th hour. You know, you'll get the best offer you're going to get, maybe the 21st, 22nd. But, you know, the stance that I'm hearing, you know, specific to like Jimmy Butler, you know, Chicago wants the world for him, and they're not even sure that if they got offered the world, they'd do it. You know, until you get offered the world and you're on the clock and hearing the Jeopardy music in the background, you don't know what you'll really do. You know, the Indiana Pacers aren't moving Paul George. The Sacramento Kings aren't moving DeMarcus Cousins. The Knicks would love to give you Carmelo Anthony, but he's not leaving. He's booking tickets for games, experience events, come hang out with me after a game. For games after the trade deadline. He controls it. He's not giving that one up. You know, so I just don't think that the big names out there, unless you start to call what I'll call the next tier of guys big names. Is Goran Dragic a big name? Maybe he gets moved. You know, we've heard, you know, like Reggie Jackson. Is Reggie Jackson a big name? Maybe he gets moved. You know, the new one that hit the wire recently was Andre Drummond. It's going to take the world to get him from Stan Van Gundy. Is that the big name? Maybe. You know, I don't think we're going to see it. History says big names don't get traded at the trade deadline. History says the guys that get moved are eight or nine guys in ending contracts or end of the bench. The P.J. Tuckers of the world are who get traded at the trade deadline. Big guys get traded in the offseason.
P.J. Tucker. Oh, man. Hey, you mentioned a guy that I was about to ask you about, Andre Drummond. And are you surprised that his name came up as somebody that Stan would be open with me? I mean, granted, I know about their history, but 23 years old, 7 feet, 280 pounds, man-child?
Have you met Stan Van Gundy?
Oh.
You know, I can't imagine he's patient with this process. That's the challenge when you've got a win now coach. It's going to be the challenge with Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. I mean, you heard it very early on that he's willing to trade one of the young guys to get a veteran like Luol Deng. You know, oh, no, don't do that. You've got to be patient. It's hard when you're used to having success, you know, teaching young guys and getting young guys to buy in, especially this generation of young guys that just won't buy in because your name is Stan. If they don't believe it, they don't feel it, they don't see it, they don't buy in. And I think that's one of the special things about what Brad Stevens is doing with the Boston Celtics is these guys believe. They believe in Brad. And that's a rare thing. The guys in Detroit don't believe in Stan, and I think he's willing to at least listen. These guys don't believe. Maybe I can get somebody who will, and what do you got for me? I don't think we'll see Drummond moved. Maybe we'll see Reggie Jackson move, but I think you're going to have to give the Pistons a lot more than anybody's going to offer at the trade deadline. It's just so hard to trade for, you know, a superstar and really get that deal done. It's much easier around the draft when you can trade 6-for-1 or throw in 6 draft picks. It's easier to manage the roster in the offseason than it is, you know, when you got get new bodies in and play tomorrow.
Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders breaking it all down for us here on the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Steve Kuyler NBA. Thanks for stopping by, Steve.
Anytime, fellas.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks again to our man Steve Kuyler, a frequent
way to bring it, Steve,
here
my dude.
To the Celtics Talk podcast. Steve made some interesting points, and you know, he agrees, I think, with what we've been saying regarding the Celtics. Probably small moves, if any. Nothing really to move the needle.
No,
maybe you get a rim protector, but not a all-star level kind of player. Or
you know what,
like
though?
That.
I mean, when you look at the NBA and you look at the different rosters out there, it's very difficult to cover all the bases adequately. There's going to be, you look at a team like Golden State, for example, with great, great, great team, but their bench is thin. They don't have they don't really have true rim protectors. You look at the Boston Celtics, great at spacing the floor, don't have a real legit rim protector. So you're going to have to give up something. But the one thing that the Celtics are holding on to, and everyone I've spoken to within that organization, and even other folks outside the organization, point to the fact that they haven't been whole all year. Really,
right?
And it's like when they have been whole, it's usually one or two guys coming back after being off for a layoff. So you know those first few games, mm-hmm. they're going to be rusty, or a guy that was like right on the cusp of getting hurt and he was starting to feel some kind of pangs and things, and so he wasn't at his best. They have not had a complete and healthy squad, and that in many ways is what they're going to be after the break. Avery Bradley is going to be ready to roll. Jaylen Brown is going to be ready to roll. Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, even after the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend with Isaiah, they're still going to get 2 or 3 days off to do nothing before
days,
they actually have to get back on the floor. So in many ways, they're going to have the same – they're going to get the same bounce that you would if you picked up a guy who was ready to prove himself without having to do anything other than just let your guys roll out there.
But if you're Brad Stevens, what do you do with the rotation? AB's been out, what, 15, 16 games, whatever it is? I mean,
throwing back in that starting lineup. And but this is what I think we'll see, though. I think Avery's minutes will be limited. I think they will try to restrict him to playing something in the mid to high 20s, which, one, it'll allow him to be fresher as you get deeper into the season. And two, you figure a lot of those minutes will probably go to Jaylen Brown, who I think has played well enough to earn the right to be out there for
longer
stretches.
But that's what I'm saying. Marcus Smart needs time, too.
Marcus has been getting 25, 30 minutes ever since he's been in the league.
Yeah,
so that's not going
to
change.
But now you got to give more minutes to Jaylen Brown also. So does that AB's minutes go down? You're not giving more to – I'm talking about not from when he was starting. I'm talking about when, you know, he was coming off the bench getting 9-10 minutes. Now you got to give him 15 to 17.
You're talking about giving him probably another 5 to 7 minutes, which is – you take that off of Avery, who was averaging in the low to mid-30s. So it's
damn,
not –
damn, Avery a 25-minute guy, dude?
You know what?
See, this is the problem. You can't lose your job because of injury, big fella.
He's not – wait, first of all, you're not going to find Avery Bradley looking for food stamps or pulling out Section 8 cards. That man is well taken care of. He's still going to be a starter. He's still going to be an impact player. But you have to look at the big picture. And when you listen to his comments when he talked about coming back, it's clear that they're talking to him from a big picture perspective. I think he understands that they're going to need him in April and May a lot more than they need him in February and March. And the more you can get a guy like Jaylen Brown out there in February and March to get his confidence up so that you don't have a situation like you had last year where Terry Rozier is thrown to the Wolves in the damn playoffs. Dude played more in the playoffs than he did all the regular season.
Man, I told you that a season ago, and you laughed at me.
First of all, your whole vision on Terry Rozier is blinded by the fact that you spent time in Louisville.
That's my
let's just keep it real, okay?
That's my guy. No, it'll be interesting to see what Brad does with that rotation. Because Jay Crowder's playing well, too. And so you got a lot of guys. And who's going to be a part of this team? That's the question. I mean, if a deal does get made. But you don't see any of the core members, you know, top 7, top 8.
I don't because, first of all, I don't think that Danny Ainge is going to completely ignore or dismiss the chemistry factor. I don't think he's going to completely dismiss, or even partially dismiss for that matter, the fact that so many of his core guys have been missing time. And the team that he envisioned throwing out there, like the top eight that him and Brad would like to see, we haven't really seen those guys that much. And so I think before – things just haven't worked out to where they can really get a feel for whether those guys work well together. But let's be honest. You got guys being plug and playing all over the place, and you're still rolling along. I mean, Gerald Green, he's balling. Gerald Green gets hurt. James Young, your dude.
He's balling.
He's balling. He's so, balling. I mean, you go down the line, that's just how they've been this year. Yeah. And if I'm not sure if you want to really break that rhythm up.
Tremendous credit, obviously, to Brad, the coaching staff, and the players being ready when their numbers are called.
Very rare. It's very rare.
Very rare. All right, let's wrap this thing up. This is the All-Star Edition / pre-trade deadline edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. I'm sure we'll be with you after the trade deadline, recapping all the moves being made, not only with the Celtics, but also around the NBA. Special shout out to Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders for joining us. My partner in crime, A. Sherrod Blakely. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, Sherrod BCSN, Kyle Draper TV. Subscribe on CSNNE.com, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, all the great podcasting apps out there. We will see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out!